This episode was translated from a German interview with AI.
Welcome to a new episode of Miba Inside, Miba's tech podcast for Miba colleagues and for everyone who is passionate about technologies for a cleaner planet. Here, we talk about what you don't usually see. The technology inside engines, trains, ships, wind turbines, hydroelectric power stations, power grids, and much more. Our experts from Miba explain how our components ensure that products and applications of our customers become safer, more reliable, and more energy efficient, and why Miba is a world leader in several of these specialist fields. Today, however, we're talking about something you can definitely see. And quite clearly, the special purpose machines from Miba Automation Systems. MAS, Miba Automation Systems, builds specialized machinery for various applications, and today we're going to focus on so-called monopiles. These are the structures offshore wind towers are built on. MAS manufactures the milling machines used for the circular and longitudinal seams in their construction. That might sound a bit complicated, but really it's not. And above all, we have guests here today who can explain it really well. Jakob Walczetseder is responsible for sales at Miba Automation Systems, and Andreas Schranzinger leads the research and development team. A very warm welcome to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
It's great to have you here. My name is Ortrun Schandl. I'm excited to guide you through this podcast. Jakob, Andreas, let's start with a few quick questions so our listeners can get to know you a bit better. How long have you been at Miba, Andreas?
It's been 6 years for me now.
Same here. 6 years. We actually started at almost the same time.
That's fantastic. Both of you have been here for 6 years. What do you like best about your work?
For me, it's definitely the variety and the close contact with our customers. We always develop our solutions based on the customer's specific problem, working closely with them to find the perfect fit for their application. And that's why we have a broad product portfolio with lots of variety in both the products and the requirements for them. The mix of technical challenges, our team's creativity, and our customer focus, that's what makes it so exciting.
Very cool. What about you, Andreas?
I can only agree. The diversity here is truly incredible. The technology itself offers a wide range of challenges, and it feels as though we encounter every single one at least once.
What is your educational background? What kind of training brought you to Miba Automation Systems?
For me, it was pretty straightforward. I went to Technical College Vöcklabruck for mechanical engineering, then continued my studies at Graz, University of Technology, specializing in production engineering and simulation.
I started out as an apprentice electrical systems technician, then studied innovation and product management, and did a master's in operations management. That's how I ended up at Miba.
So a perfect mix of technical know-how and management skills and innovation skills. Very exciting. In MAS, you're working with completely different products than other divisions at Miba, which basically build components. Your machines are pretty big. Does that make you different in character too? I mean, compared to other Miba colleagues?
I think we're a bit of a close-knit group within Miba. The key difference is definitely that our batch sizes start at just one unit. We build custom machines tailored to each customer, and we also have standard machines in our portfolio, such as the circular and longitudinal seam milling machines, which we keep customizing and developing to meet new market demands.
How about you, Andreas? Do you feel different from other Miba colleagues too?
Yes, I do. It's definitely that single unit production. Today we have a project involving coatings. Tomorrow it's a project involving milling. You have to be able to switch gears very quickly.
And do these huge machines affect your ego? I mean, others work on small components, but you're building these massive machines. Does that make you proud?
Yes, definitely. Especially when you can make a customer happy or when you've really managed to meet their requirements to their satisfaction. It's a fret feeling.
Speaking of customer requirements, let's talk a bit about your unit. It's small but mighty. Where exactly is Miba Automation Systems located?
Well, I think we're the westernmost site in Austria. We're based in Arashkirchen, together with Bearing Materials. It's one motorway exit away from the head office at the Regau motorway junction.
That's where the massive motorway bridge goes right over your heads. You're mechanical engineers, and as you've already mentioned, the applications for your machines are incredibly varied. Before we dive into today's topic, what sort of machines does Miba Automation Systems generally build?
That's not an easy question, because there are so many different areas. We usually divide them into four groups. The first is high-tech automation, which we offer for many different Miba sites. Mechanical machining actually grew out of that because even a plain bearing or a sintered green part needs to be machined. And with that know-how, we moved on to special purpose machines, particularly in-situ machining of large components. Basically, if a component is too big to bring to the machine, our machine goes to the component. That's called in-situ machining. From there, we moved into weld seam preparation, especially for large components with sheet thicknesses up to 150 millimeters, really huge things that we transport, move, and process. And the fourth business division that has also developed is decommissioning. These are mostly mobile machines again, such as for the decommissioning of nuclear power stations, where we also develop our own systems and saws.
Exactly. So anything to do with demolition, anything that's specialized in any way. So it's not just about using a jackhammer to knock something down. Wherever sophisticated technology is needed, that's where we come in. We're also thinking ahead. Now we're talking about monopiles, but we're also considering how to remove them at the end of their service life. We're exploring these ideas to see if we can grow in this area too.
Very interesting. How does that actually work? You have four different business divisions, each with very different requirements and customers. How do you get your projects? Do customers come to you directly, or do you hear about a problem and see if you can solve it?
A bit of both. Sometimes an inquiry comes in to Jakob or one of his colleagues, and they come into our office all excited about a customer's problem. That's when we ask ourselves, do we have the right people? Do we have the right skills for it? And if we answer yes, we're actually straight into the discussion and finding a solution. And then the whole thing follows its normal course.
And he leaves just as full of energy?
That's right, yes.
Let's move on to today's topic. Your specialists in milling machines, Andreas, as you've already mentioned, and your most successful machine is the RNF65. That's a circumferential seam milling machine, which is why it has the abbreviation RNF for the German term Rundnutfräser. Perhaps we need to take a step back here. People might know what a milling machine does. But why circular joints? Where is it needed? You've already mentioned monopiles, the foundations of wind turbines. But where exactly is this machine needed that mills circular joints?
Let me give you an example. A monopile is basically a long steel tube, as long as a football pitch and as tall as a two-story house, about 12 meters in diameter and now up to 15 meters in the latest developments. This monopile is driven into the seabed like a giant nail, so it has to withstand a lot of stress. To build a monopile, you start with a large sheet of metal, about 4 by 12 meters and 100 to 150 millimeters thick. The sheet is rolled up, and where the ends meet, it's welded together. That's the longitudinal weld. And before you can start welding, you have to mill the seam so that the welder has a proper surface to work on.
Because the normal sheet metal edges aren't suitable for welding, right?
Exactly. And after the first weld, you basically have a ring or segment that's 4 meters high. To build a monopile, you stack several of these segments together, and that's where the circumferential weld comes in, all the way around. Again, you need to prepare the weld, and that's where we mill in our tulip shape, which is the perfect preparation for welding. Finally, you attach a flange to the long pipe, and the monopile is ready.
These are then transported by ship to the installation site, lifted by crane, and set into the seabed, with a few meters sticking out above sea level. That's where the wind tower is erected. What I might add is that the monopile is essentially an iron pipe. There's a yellow section at the top, and everything above that, the white part, is the wind tower itself.
I'm curious about this tulip shape. Is that a special milled shape from Miba Automation Systems? The edge looks kind of three-pronged, so it fits together well?
Well, the tulip shape is actually quite common in the welding industry, especially for thick sheets. For a weld joint that's 100 to 150 millimeters thick, we mill out a tulip shape so the welder can reach the center of the sheet. If you just chamfered it, you'd need a lot more weld material, which is expensive. The tulip shape is much more efficient.
We've talked about how you usually end up building custom machines. The customer comes to you with enthusiasm. You discuss the possibilities and you leave just as excited. How did it work with the circular seam milling machines? How did you end up building this special purpose machine?
Well, basically, the first circular seam milling machine we built wasn't actually for monopiles, but for tank construction for an Austrian customer. We saw potential to use it elsewhere, and that's how we got into the wind industry. The sector has been growing for years, with wall thicknesses and diameters increasing, so there's a need for machines for weld seam preparation and even more complex systems. We've been very successful in that area.
And the wall thicknesses and diameters are increasing because the wind turbines are getting bigger. Did I understand that well?
Yes. The output of the wind turbines is increasing,
We're already looking at over 20 megawatts in this sector.
And the turbines are correspondingly large, aren't they? I saw somewhere that they reach a total height similar to the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Yes, so the goal is to extract as much energy as possible from as little space as possible, and that's why the wind turbines keep getting bigger.
Offshore wind power is a big topic, especially in Asia. More than half of the world's offshore wind electricity was produced in China last year, and they're expanding rapidly. Taiwan and South Korea are following, though not on the same scale. What does that mean for you and your future prospects?
Well, we can see that the Asian market is developing incredibly fast, and we're fortunate to be the market leader there. Even though we manufacture in Austria, we can be very successful there. It also clearly demonstrates that customers trust our quality and are willing to invest in durable, high-quality machinery from MIBA. Another factor is that in Asia, quality requirements are rising. What used to be done manually is now automated, and that's where our milling machines come in. We're exporting them, and now Chinese manufacturers are supplying Europe, so they need to meet European production standards.
So Chinese wind turbine manufacturers are building turbines in Europe, and your machines are used for that?
Exactly. We supply large monopile plants in China for the global market, not just China.
You've already said you're the market leader. What makes your machines stand out from the competition?
Well, what really sets us apart is that we listen to our customers and we constantly develop our machines further. The requirements are changing too. Requirements are always changing. Monopiles are getting bigger and the way they're operated is changing too. For example, pipes used to be on the ground, but now they're 3 meters up, so operators have to climb up. So we thought about how we could change the operating concept. How can we support them so that the process runs automatically? We're not traditional machine builders who say, here's the system, have fun with it, do whatever you like, but rather we deliver complete solutions. So we look at the tool and optimize it to suit their requirements and their process. We deliver complete solutions, optimize the tools, and support the customer with service and maintenance contracts. We stay in touch even after delivery, and customers appreciate that. They're willing to pay more for it than for Asian competitors.
You're specialist machine builders, but you also need electrical engineers and other experts for such a specialized machine. Can you describe your team and the skills needed to bring a high-tech product like this together?
In our project team, there aren't just designers, each with their own specialty, but also includes electrical engineering and software experts so we can develop the complete product. Later, we need the procurement team, and for assembly, we have specialists who know exactly how to put everything together. It's a diverse group of technicians.
Who are all always happy to travel the world?
That's a real advantage. You need all these colleagues at different project phases, right? How do they work together?
There are different phases in a project. At the start, there's a big question mark because you don't know exactly what you're building or how you'll solve the problem. It's important that everyone is involved and contributes ideas. Once the plan is clear, the process moves from design to electrical planning, procurement, and finally implementation.
Especially in the design phase, we coordinate closely with the customer. That's our strength and what sets us apart from the competitors. We really focus on understanding the customer's needs rather than assuming we know what they want.
Do you need a degree to join your team?
No, you don't.
You're both university graduates, but do you also need highly specialized professionals?
That's right, yes. Our staff already have a great deal of experience, and that wealth of experience is like a treasure chest.
So that means you also train apprentices in Oranjekirchen?
That's right, partly at our site and together with our colleagues from MIBA Gleitlager in Laakirchen.
You can't just rest on your laurels. The competition certainly isn't resting either. So what's the next step? Where is the journey heading for round-type milling?
Well, we're constantly developing our systems further. For example, we've created a smaller system, more compact machine to serve other markets, like container construction. In the pipe industry, a big topic is combining milling and welding. We want to help our customers to minimize their process time by combining these processes rather than doing them one after the other.
You'll need to explain that in more detail. So you're doing the weld preparation with milling and then the welding takes place? How does that work? Do two teams work on the same monopile at the same time?
Yes, for both processes, the monopile is rotated on heavy-duty rollers at different speeds for each process. Our idea was to develop a tool that can adapt its feed rate to match the welding process. The next issue concerned electrical currents. During welding, we have leakage currents. These have to go somewhere, and if we machine the component with a metallic tool, the electronics can be damaged. The idea was to design our machine with protective insulation to ensure that no leakage currents can flow through it. And the second issue was to optimize the milling tool so that the process speeds are aligned.
Which was faster, the welding or the milling?
It depends on the weld. The first weld is slower, but for filler welds, welding is faster. We can achieve up to 1,000 millimeters per minute, creating the groove or tulip shape in the component.
So customers get two processes at once, milling and welding, saving time.
Exactly. Running the processes in parallel shortens turnaround time and saves costs.
As diameters increase, the weld seam preparation takes longer. For a 10-meter diameter monopile, you can save at least half an hour per weld seam.
And how many welds does a standard monopile need?
That depends on the length of the monopile, but I'd say usually about 20 to 25 circumferential welds on a monopile.
Okay, that's quite a long process. It's good that you can get other things done in between.
That's a clear advantage for the customer. We've now filed it with the patent office.
Let's take a quick look into the future. Apart from the patent application, the smaller machines you've already mentioned can also be used for other round steel shapes and in other industries. Where is this already being done and where else can it be used?
I'd say anywhere where cylindrical welded steel structures are used. That includes pressure vessel construction, classic reactor pressure vessels built for gas or liquids, right through to railways and tank wagons, LNG and LPG, gas transportation across Europe. We actually want to expand into those areas and further develop our technology. So basically wherever pipes are made.
A large one in that case.
Yes, it has to be a rolled, welded sheet metal. That's always a good indicator of where our plant technology can be used.
That's quite a specialized topic, isn't it? How did you actually end up with milling machines? Was it a coincidence, or have you always been so interested in them that it led you straight to MIBA?
Well, not exactly by coincidence. The core expertise in this area actually dates back to the time when MAS was still part of a transitional warehouse. Right from the start, we were able to work with a wide variety of machining technologies, and one of those is milling. Milling isn't actually that specialized anymore. In Upper Austria in particular, there are some fantastic companies that manufacture milling machines. What makes the MS special are, on the one hand, the applications in which we use milling, and on the other, the system's mobility. The fact that you can actually position the system right next to the component is actually quite unique. But basically, you could say that the DNA of milling is rooted somewhere within every employee.
I agree.
Yes, it has to be, doesn't it?
You get around the world a lot. Jakob, you've already mentioned that if you like traveling, this is the right place for you. And you're building a machine that doesn't really exist anywhere, and yet it comes from little Austria and the even smaller town of Aurachkirchen. What's that actually like for you? How are you received abroad, especially in big markets like China?
Basically, I think very well. We're always welcomed, and I think our technology and expertise are really appreciated. Our quality is valued too. Customers tell us they used to have competitor machines with higher tool wear, slower speeds, and lower quality. That's where we come in, and customers appreciate it. Plus, we get to travel. Monopile plants are usually by the sea, so we see a lot of the world.
Very nice. If our listeners are now fascinated by this topic and would like to find out more, what's the best thing for them to do?
The best thing to do is simply visit the MIBA Automation Systems website, have a look around, follow us on LinkedIn, and there are already quite a few videos on YouTube that you can check out.
Or just pop in and visit us.
Are your doors always open?
Yes.
Dear Andreas, dear Jakob, thank you for coming. It was truly fascinating talking with you both.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you.
Together, we're creating technologies for a cleaner planet. Thank you to all of you, dear listeners, for tuning in. Feel free to follow this podcast on your preferred platform. Until next time, take care.
This podcast is produced by WePodit.